Okay, it is Saturday, March 22nd, 24th?
25th.
2023. We are in Newcastle, Washington, Mom's and Dad's house. This is Jared Howe. I'm joined by...
Stacey Howlott.
And...
Clark Howe.
And... I think we left off last time. You were talking about how you were raised in Ponca with a family that went to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the church that you went to...
was the First Presbyterian.
Yeah.
And the one actually we lived close to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And wasn't your sister Mona, wasn't she... didn't she stay in that church?
Yes, she did. Mona and Ken, of course, were in from Ponca. Mm-hmm. And they were both active in the church. Both she and Ken were elders, served as elders for a period of time. And so she was always very active in the church. More active than Honey and Granddaddy were at an older age. They weren't nearly as active. But Mona staying there became active in it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after we got married in the Quad Cities, we weren't really ever active in a church. We did for a few years. You may recall we went to the Unitarian Church.
Yeah, I remember.
And one of you guys called the Unitarian Church the place to go on Sunday morning for people who didn't want to go to church. Which was not quite true, but it was nice people. And,
yeah, friendly.
Good people, and they were very, very humanitarian, very just non-denominational. They weren't very traditional religious,
mm-hmm.
but we attended there a few years and then stopped that.
Mm-hmm. What would you say your religious or spiritual views are?
Well, pretty agnostic.
Yeah. Which means what exactly?
Well, it means that I don't particularly care to follow any religion.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the closest we've ever we've come to any religion is with Ron and with Mark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now they've always been very good about not pushing or even. Not pushing is the right word, about not expecting maybe anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're in Kansas City and when we're there on Sundays, we mm-hmm. nearly always attend their church.
Mm-hmm.
But we attended a Unitarian church here a few times when we moved to Seattle. There was a Unitarian church up in... Kirkland, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it was Jim and Jackie Mason, who are friends that we made from here,
mm-hmm.
attended that church for a while. So we attended a few times with them, but it's just mm-hmm. not something that we ever. It's kind of unfortunate because it does provide a nice, if nothing else, even outside the religious aspect of it, which it had not appealed to Mom or either one. But it's a nice community.
Yeah.
And gives a good mm-hmm. a good connection with community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of too bad because in moving to a new area, that's a good way to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're particularly when you got kids in school, you connect with kids in school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're our age and move here, it's hard to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been very, very lucky. Two things we were so lucky with. Number one was moving into the cul-de-sac
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and immediately connected with everybody in the cul-de-sac,
mm-hmm.
which gave you automatically a group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Mom got connected with the African women,
mm-hmm.
that produced a wonderful group of people
mm-hmm.
that we're still in connection with today.
And also I think moving here, knowing Jane and Dave.
That always helps.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
And Shirley and Dee were here for a while.
Right.
I mean, so some of your good friends also happened to be in Seattle.
Right. And that made a big difference, too,
yeah.
because, mm-hmm. yeah, we've met some people through Dave and Jane. And, of course, we did through Dee and Shirley, in fact, one of them, you know, Dee and Shirley, he's been dead now for 5 or 6 years. And we hardly connect with Shirley anymore, but mm-hmm. she's in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. But yet, one of the friends that we made with from them, we were just over their house last week.
Yeah.
So, and they're coming this week because they want to start the bees.
So. Oh, so exciting, Papa. I love that you're spreading the gospel of the bees.
Yeah. So,
who are your closest friends now in the stage?
Of course, Chan and Bob Boyd have been close for years. And, you know, we see them, certainly with COVID now, we haven't seen them as often, but we used to see them pretty much once a year. Mm-hmm. And then the Chamberlains, mm-hmm. We see them a couple times a year usually. In fact, they'll be coming out here next month.
Yay, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, good.
And then we, in June, we're going to go see, go with them to two places. We're going to go in June to Nashville to see the Phi Gams, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
All 16 of us. And then in June, later June, we're going to go to a cruise with the Chamberlains mm-hmm. and actually John and Sue next door mm-hmm. and the Chamberlains' friends who we've gone cruises with before. So we're going to have, there'll be 8 of us mm-hmm. in that group. Although, if John and Sue can go, Sue's not. She's got some kind of a autoimmune disease that it's really difficult. So
do they know yet what it is?
They've been struggling for a year to find out what it is, and she's finally just this week found somebody to treat her for it. That says they're going to try a treatment.
Is it long COVID?
No.
Is it something like Lyme or something?
It's got a big long name and it's extremely rare. But it's something has to do with nerves, and she loses feeling in your feet, and then end up getting nerve pain too, which is severe. Mm. Yeah. So, but she's on she just started a kind of a chemotherapy. So.
Mm-hmm. And is this your cruise to France?
No, that was cruise to France was last October. Mm-hmm. This is a cruise to Greece.
Oh, fabulous.
So.
I love that you all take all these trips.
One of the questions we want to ask you, Dad, what has been your favorite place to live over the years and why?
We haven't lived very many.
Or any place.
So it's in town in Ponca, then out on the farm or the ranch in Ponca.
Kansas.
And then
you lived
in Illinois.
You went to college.
Starting out in Ponca, we just lived in two houses, one by the high school and one over by the church.
Right.
And then when we moved to Rock Island, mm-hmm. and we moved from there to Rock Island. Mm-hmm. We lived in two houses, mm-hmm. a little one on 21st Avenue and the one on 27th Street, the big one. Mm-hmm. And then we moved here, and this is it. So mm-hmm. that's 5 houses in my lifetime. So,
if you had to rank them, what would be the top one?
I don't think you really.
Not that you rank, but like what stands out in those places.
We love being in Rock Island mm-hmm. for many reasons. Of course, we went there for deer, and mm-hmm. that was a good reason to be there. But we loved where we lived in Rock Island. We loved the community we lived in Rock Island. Loved the fact that we lived across the street from the school.
Yeah.
And we loved the neighborhood was so-so in Rock Island. I mean, it was being across from school was the important thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have any close neighbors to speak of that we were friends with. Carol and Gary Kramer across the way were semi-friends. Mm-hmm. But the main thing, of course, we love living in that house. That's a house of a. That was a house of both of us for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that house too.
And I think all the kids would say that's true.
And I also love the little house. I love both of them for different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, little house was a good starting house too. And so, you know, and come to here, this house is fine, but it's not
Like the house itself is not.
Yeah, it's just kind of a, it's neutral. I don't dislike it, but there's nothing that particularly is appealing to it, to me, to this house.
I know, I fell in love with, because of that big house, right? You have a turn of the century homes, and I live in a brand new home that just has no character. There's not, there's nothing that you, that, yeah, I was meant to live in turn of the century homes, not these brand new.
Yeah, and it's just, and not only that, but you, you also, you really feel worthwhile by living in a 100-year-old home and also keeping it up and making it, making sure it's better when you leave it than it was when you
it's that had continuity that you're part of the line.
And so, of course, now the people that we last we looked at, they weren't taking care of it, so I don't want to go back and look anymore.
Yeah.
I always wanted to pick up that house, right, wherever I'm going to end up, just, you know, move that house entirely from Rock Island and put it to wherever I'm. It, I just adore every bit of that house.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great house. Yeah.
You've traveled to many places in the world, you and Mom have. What is, what are some of your most favorite places that you've traveled
to? That's a tough question too, because it's hard to compare them. But well, of course, we were lucky traveling early on when I went to work for Deer. Early on, I got to go to Europe, to Germany mostly, and one of the early trips, Mom came with me. I don't even remember that. You, Stacy was only. You were young. You were 18 months, maybe 2, 3, and I think it was the second trip to Germany. And she said, "I'm coming with you." So, was that
Mom's first time to go over to Europe?
I believe it was. Yes, first time she ever went to Europe, and we took you to Kansas City, and that's when you ended up being in the hospital, which was it's got to have been traumatic to you. You were comfortable staying with the, pretty comfortable, seemed like, staying with Grandma and Aunt Marcy.
How did she get sick?
Well, she started having asthma and respiratory issues, and she did then again for, you ended up being in the hospital 3 or 4 times over several years.
They put you in a plastic tent, and then they run water in it. Kind of like a greenhouse effect, so the air is really moisture laden. And they don't let, or at the time at least, they don't let a parent stay with you. You're isolated. I mean, you're not, but which is like barbaric. I remember being in it.
Only saving grace is sometimes when you go in, you feel so bad that you would just mostly sleep. But it was tough. Anyway, so we got to Europe several times early on. One time we went there and took the time off, and our friend Tom Murphy was stationed in Europe with the Army. And we took off after working, I don't know, a few days, and drove with him through the Alps in the middle of the winter.
Through the Alps in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't know which part of the Alps you went through. The Alps are the most spectacular.
They are. They're just
mountain
beautiful.
Range I've ever seen.
I know.
They are like insane.
It looks like a storybook.
You're like, this is not real.
I know. It looks like Switzerland or it just looks like a picture.
Yeah.
It's kind of like reminds me of painting. The Teton. Yeah. Kind of
yes.
That's
super tall. Yeah.
Anyway, so and we started from that. Time on, we started traveling quite a bit. One of the most memorable trips, the two of us early on, was when we went to the Galapagos. You remember?
That was about 91.
Boy, that's a good question.
Because we were juniors or seniors, I think.
Okay.
And,
that makes sense.
In high school,
what happened there was that Mary's son,
Christensen's
son, Matt, operated a boat. he married an Ecuadorian, mm-hmm. And they ran an excursion boat, a very small excursion boat, out of into the Galapagos. They lived in Galapagos and ran an excursion boat, mm-hmm. and it only would take six, I think, maybe. So there were Gino Melia went with us, mm-hmm. Jay Stanley, a friend of Mary's. I think there were six of us plus three crew. But we sailed all around the Galapagos for, I don't know, a week maybe. Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating. It was really fascinating. We also then at the same time went to Ecuador, went to Quito, mm-hmm. And also went at the same trip. It's got to be the same trip. Anyway, we went went to the up to the Amazon, mm. and went on a actually it wasn't on the Amazon itself. It was on a tributary. The Amazon has three rivers that are headwaters of the Amazon. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the Rio Negro, Rio Tinto, and Rio Bravo, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we were on one of those three. I believe it was the Rio Negro. Mm-hmm. And where, so we went to Quito, took a van out of Quito to the village where the road ended. Mm. Got off the van, got into a dugout canoe.
I don't think I've ever heard this story.
And a dugout canoe was, of course, I had a high-powered gasoline right. motor on it, but yeah. a long dugout canoe went up the river, up river, down river, I'm not sure which, to a village, went up an hour maybe an hour and a half, and pulled into a kind of a camp. It was sort of a tourist camp, mm-hmm. but we stayed in, and there's probably, I don't know, a dozen or maybe two dozen sort of cabins, but the cabins were kind of open air. Mm. Cabins, they were on platforms off the ground, but they were kind of open at the top. In fact, the monkeys would climb up along around the top of it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we stayed out there a few days. I don't remember exactly. And they had a tent that you could or a lodge sort of thing that you had the meals in. Mm-hmm. And then we did excursions. Sometimes we hiked through the jungle to native villages. We took some boat rides up through the Amazon, the rainforest.
That sounds like an amazing
trip. It was fascinating.
That sounds amazing. Was the water, I assume that it's Rio Negro for the water tinted because of the
I think it was.
Leaves?
Linda, we were in the Amazon. Did we go up the Rio Negro? Amazon, the tributary to the Amazon?
I think that was the name.
When I was in Brazil, in Belize, we were on waters that were stained. Somehow it's the tannin or something in the leaves. The water's black. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's clear, but it's dark.
It's like tea.
Coffee.
It's bizarre. Because it's not muddy.
No.
Like you would, it really interesting.
It's stained. But we... So that was fascinating because that's just a different world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was a really interesting trip. Where was the other ones? Well, of course, and then there was, I was lucky at the last 10 years or so of my working career, I was traveling quite a bit in the world. And
New Zealand.
Went to Australia, and then I worked in Australia for, I think I was there maybe 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Maybe 6 weeks, and then Mom came over with Jan and Bob and Tony and Mary Ellen, mm-hmm. Oliveira, and we went to New Zealand. We went first of all. We were in Australia. We went to Sydney. Mm-hmm. I was working in Brisbane, mm-hmm. which is there's three main big cities: is Adelaide. Sydney and Brisbane, mm-hmm. and I was working in Brisbane. We stayed there, I think, a day or two, and then went to Sydney and spent a few days. And then we went up to a place called Cairns, which is north, up near the Barrier Reef. Mm-hmm. We went up to Cairns. We flew up there, I believe. And then we stayed there for a few days, and we took some excursions, Jeep excursions, things like that. And then one full day, I think it was just one day, we went to the Barrier Reef and went out all day and snorkeled.
Wow.
In the Barrier Reef.
Wow.
What was that like?
Oh, fantastic.
Barrier Reef, I've heard, is spectacular.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's dying. Mm-hmm. So if you
it's dying, but it's also they're trying to save it, and they've saved part of it, and there is a chance that maybe to
it may come back. But you know, because the warm water is it's dying off. There's a lot of coral.
Yeah,
but it's beautiful. I mean, you can just snorkel along. They had a great big boat that had several hundred people on it. Mm-hmm. And then you would go in smaller boats. You could go in, it had a glass bottom boat you could go to, and you could ride in a glass bottom boat, and you could just see the reef, because where the reef is, it's not very deep. Maybe ocean mostly is about 15, 20 feet deep. Mm-hmm. So we didn't scuba dive. We just would snorkel with fins and a mask and a snorkel, and you just float along the top and you could just swim along and just see the reef and see the fish and all the coral. Wow. And it's beautiful. Wow. So, and then of course we took we went to New Zealand and spent about a week. And remarkable thing about the New Zealand was that we rented a van for six of us and drove, and we circled the South Island. We didn't really even travel much on the North Island, except just to flew in and out of there. But we went to the South Island, which is Christchurch, and then the mountain range in the South Island are called the Remarkables. And they're really remarkable. But we drove circle the island in a few days, and didn't have any reservations. We would just find a place to stay, and that was a great trip and really, really interesting. So that was and of course the other really interesting place was also business, but it was in South Africa.
Oh yeah, and you went there what year?
Well, it was around year 2000, because we were doing both in Australia and South Africa. Mm-hmm. We were doing what was known then as Y2K work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where when the year 2000 came, many computer systems were not prepared to handle a four-digit year. Everything was assumed it would be, when they designed the programs, they never planned ahead to be in 2000. Mm-hmm. So we had to make, what we ended up doing actually was, because there was extensive work needed on their old computer systems, what we tended to do was convert them to a new, brand new system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were doing. We were converting them to the service part system that we were on in North America and in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so we were bringing up South Africa and Mexico, Australia, Brazil, all on that computer system. So mm-hmm. that's what we were. So it was in that year, in year 2K. Mm-hmm.
What was it like to be there?
Well, South Africa was really interesting. Now, most of it was 8 weeks of work, but it was really interesting to fly down, of course. And you fly overnight out of Frankfurt into Johannesburg, and then the deer factory was a couple hour drive from Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating to be there at that time. It was still dangerous to be and I remember driving, we drove into Johannesburg a time or two, and you didn't get out of the car. We drove into downtown Johannesburg. It's a major city, kind of like downtown, as big as downtown Seattle. Mm-hmm. And rather than to get out and park and didn't walk in the street, you would drive the car into an underground parking lot, mm-hmm. and then we just stayed in big, huge, big complex of buildings. Mm-hmm. And the people we rode with, the managing person, the manager that we were working for there, carried a loaded weapon in his car mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. We went out one weekend. We were there for several weeks, so and he took us out to his shooting club where they did target practice with pop-up targets, like military, which was a new experience to us.
Did you take part in that? Or
no, we watched. No, we just watched, we didn't take part in it, but we watched it. Mm-hmm. Went out to his house, had a lovely house in the suburbs. Suburbs were all fenced in mm-hmm. with locked gates. Their house was a kind of a suburban ranch, mm-hmm. but the interesting thing about the house was that it had kind of had a bedroom wing. It had three or four bedrooms and kind of one wing, mm-hmm. and it had an iron gate with a padlock between that locked off the bedrooms.
Each room?
Well, no, they just locked off that wing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Bars on the windows, mm-hmm. bars on the doors. And had an iron gate that they would lock at night. Mm-hmm. So they were locked themselves in the bedrooms. Mm. Which was really an interesting experience to live under those circumstances.
Yeah.
We were there for about, I'd say, 6 weeks. And interesting that we took 1 weekend off. We did not, it was really sad to me. I didn't get to go to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because Cape Town is supposed to be one of the beautiful places in the earth. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go down for a weekend, but the people I was with, the guys I was working with, there were three of us. They weren't, and we were working 12-hour days. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to do it, so we ended up not going. However, we did take off 1 weekend and went to the Kruger National Park mm-hmm. and drove through there, spent a night or two in the park in sort of tent-like accommodations where you go in at night and they lock you in rather than lock the animals out. Mm-hmm. But we saw all kinds of animals. We saw, you know, the baboons, the elephants, the giraffes, lions, hippos, just virtually everything. Mm-hmm. I probably told you about the story that I have told from time to time, the story about the baboons.
I don't think so.
Well, we were driving through, we had our own guide and had a kind of van that we were riding through the park mm-hmm. and of course animals aren't really afraid of you in particular, as long as you stay in the car they just kind of ignore you totally mm-hmm. and so we were driving along in this van. There were three, four, maybe five of us in this van So we come along the road, and there's a whole bunch of baboons. Like they kind of run in packs, and so there were five or six or eight or ten of them around. They were sitting in the middle of the road, so couldn't get by. So we had to stop, and then they gradually start to move. Well, about this time, a baboon spotted in the back of the van. They were in the back seat. There was nobody back there, and they left the window open. One of these sliding windows. And one of these, it wasn't a young one, it was a medium size, a young baboon, not a full grown, half grown. All of a sudden was in that window like a flash. He was in the van.
Oh, he was in the van?
In the van.
Okay.
And was going through potato chips and food and sandwiches. And so
I've never heard the story.
As fast as he got in the window, The rest of us bailed out. we were out of that van and nothing flat. And the driver, of course, he was experienced and he was also armed. Mm-hmm. But he managed, I think, after the baboon ate what he wanted, then he finally got him out and we got back in the. But we were out among the animals at that point. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting experience. Let's see, what else did we do in South Africa? That was about it. We did have a. It was interesting. I remember the experience. We would sometimes be working late, and we had to go from the deer factory back to our hotel, which was 30-minute drive maybe, mm-hmm. over some kind of interstate type roads, or not quite interstate, but good sized roads. It wasn't back roads. And the instructions were that don't ever stop, even if somebody smashes into you, unless your car is disabled, do not stop. Do not ever stop at a stoplight. Do not ever stop at a stop sign. Hmm.
How would you not? Would you like go slow through lights or
slow down? But then
you just never stop. I see. Okay.
And if you ever have an accident, do not stop unless you're disabled. Wow. Unless your car is disabled. So that was a different experience. That and we had a and it's you know it's. It's somewhat warranted because a year or two later, there was a middle-aged woman that was in charge kind of doing our installation in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And she was good and learned our system really well. So I got her to go to Australia with us to help. And so she came with us, the group. We went and took about five of us, I guess, to Australia. And she came down there and helped us install. Anyway, so we got to know her, and she was in, came to the Quad Cities a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And a few years later, we got word that her husband had been killed. Oh. Mm-hmm. That he had interrupted somebody trying to steal their car, and they killed him.
Oh my God. Whereabouts? Whereabouts?
Was that? Well, it was
in
just,
South Africa.
Yeah, in South Africa. It was near where we'd gone out to at the end of that night. So it was a different experience.
Were there gangs there, or was it just?
Well, there were, and there was just it was just an unlawful place. Mm-hmm. You'd drive into the city and you'd park. You park your car, go and eat in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. First of all, there'd be somebody monitoring the parking, and you give them a couple of dollars, and they'd watch your car for you. Mm-hmm. With the idea, probably if you didn't give them a dollar, they'd steal your car. Mm-hmm. You'd walk into a business or a restaurant, the doors would be locked, iron doors, mm-hmm. bars, and they would buzz you in. Mm-hmm. So you'd walk into a little anyway. They would see who you were, and then they would open the door for you.
Yeah.
And often there were two doors, one on one side, one on the other. Mm-hmm. Just everybody went.
Yeah.
So, interesting experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm. Let's see, other travels we.
Vietnam, Angkor Wat, other.
Yeah,
one
of our favorite cruises was Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And we went to. We flew into Saigon and were there for a few days and did sightseeing around Saigon. Mm-hmm. I stayed in a nice hotel. And then we got on a boat and went up the Mekong River. I think we went down the river first and then up the river a little bit. So it was a combination a bus trip, boat trip, city trip. So we went up the Mekong, mm-hmm. And went up into Cambodia. Hmm. And went all the way up into the Tonle Sap Lake, which is an interesting lake, one of the most interesting in the world, and to Angkor Wat. and up to Phnom Penh in Cambodia and spent a day or two there. That's where Angkor Wat is, mm-hmm. near there. Some experiences I remember is one thing, we were in Phnom Penh. We went to they had a massage school, mm-hmm. And everybody in the school was blind. And the government would train people who were blind into being masseuses.
Wow.
Which I thought, well, how much sense does that make?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really need to look.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you're just
yeah.
feeling.
And we went into.
Yeah.
Mom and I, we all, and some of the people in the group, mm-hmm. went into this massage school, went into a big room, mm-hmm. and there must have been, I don't know, 15 or 20 people in there. And you went in and had a massage, and they earned a living, mm-hmm. they earned money. Mm-hmm. They, and the government provided this facility for them, and they did a great job. Really interesting. But we were on a riverboat, as I remember, it was a couple hundred people, mm-hmm. And we would go along, and they would sometimes just pull over to the side of the river, mm-hmm. and throw out a gangplank. We'd walk up to a village, and there'd be a Buddhist temple or something, and we would just walk up to it. Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting things I found about about that trip was that you saw life centered on the river. Mm-hmm. That everything was on the river. The cities were all built on the river, mostly. Mm-hmm. You would see transports on the river. You would see big industrial things, barges going on the river. You would see houseboats, families on the river. Hmm. You would see the farmers bringing their cattle down to the river in the mornings. You'd see in some places there were floating villages on the river.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Whole village.
Wow.
Just on barges floating. Mm-hmm. And we'd stop and go in them, and you'd have to have little boats that you would go between the barges, mm-hmm. and they'd have houses, they'd have restaurants, they'd have shops.
That's amazing.
All on barges.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating. The interesting thing about the lake that called Tonle Sap Lake in Cambodia, one of the most interesting lakes in the world. It's on the tributary of the Mekong. And what happens is it fills itself up and empties itself twice a year.
How so?
Well, what happens is the Mekong River drains the Himalayas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so in the melting season, it runs really high. Mm-hmm. And what happens is it backs up. So this is a tributary like of the Mekong. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. Anyway, and so it comes down to the Mekong. Well, the Mekong gets so high that the water goes up backwards, mm-hmm. and fills this lake. And this is a lake that's like 25 miles by 25 miles. I mean, oh my
God. Wow.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And it fills it up. Mm-hmm. And then in the dry, then when the river, the main river goes down, mm-hmm. The level goes down, mm-hmm. and it starts draining the river, the lake.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what happens is it makes a natural flooded fields. Most of the lake is very shallow. Mm-hmm. It makes natural flooded fields for rice. Mm-hmm.
So when it drains, that's when they grow the rice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it floods the fields. They put rice in there. It floods the field. They plant them. Mm-hmm. And then it floods this whole area. And so it makes it natural. So that was one of the reasons that the Cambodian culture was such a rich culture, and they do things like the Angkor Wat, mm-hmm. because they had that natural, and there was natural abundant fish, mm-hmm. in this thing, because it would fill up and then empty twice a year. Fascinating.
Wow.
That is really
interesting. And we went for a boat ride out on the on the lake itself, and they have floating villages out there too. Wow. So. Anyway, that was one of our favorites. Mm-hmm. So.
Where have you not been that you want to go to?
There's so many places.
What are some of your top places that you would like to go to?
Well, I've been to Northern Europe, but Mom's never been anywhere in Northern Europe. Sweden. Yeah.
Finland.
Denmark, Norway,
Finland.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to go to Greece. We've never been to Greece. We've never been to Turkey. Turkey is a fascinating place.
Yeah.
We've been
to Egypt.
Had not been to Egypt anywhere in Egypt, yeah. And we've only been to, we really haven't been to South America. I haven't been to, worked in Brazil for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A few days in Brazil. But, and we really haven't traveled to Mexico either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you see Clay and Pooney love Mexico.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. They say it's great there.
So, there's just an unlimited number of places to go. And of course, I haven't been to India.
India is fascinating.
Yeah. Haven't been to China.
Yeah.
Luckily, we got to go to Hong Kong on our way to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots of places to go.
What are some of your favorite places in the States? What are your top places?
Well, of course, Santa Fe.
Okay.
We love the 15 years or so that we went to Santa Fe
mm-hmm.
every year.
What did you love about it?
Oh, Santa Fe is just such a... It's such a unique place.
Mm-hmm.
We love to go to the Indian market in the summer, in August.
Yeah.
That's just a fascinating market. You mm-hmm. see all the Indian tribes from all over the U.S. and Canada would bring the things they do, the things, the art they make, mm-hmm. the pottery, the weavings, and it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun, but Santa Fe is cool. It's, you know, it's on the edge of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
There's not real high mountains there, but there are mountains. The art galleries, the restaurants, the sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of national parks close.
It's always sunny.
Yeah. It gets, you know, they do get snow and cold weather.
But it's
sunny. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really unique place. Mm-hmm. It's fun to be there. And then the city itself has five major museums.
Mm-hmm.
Out on Museum Hill. I don't know if you guys remember that. You weren't there very much.
We went there a couple of times, but we weren't there a lot. No.
Museum Hill is fascinating. It's got a museum of Indian culture, it's got a museum of Spanish culture, it's got a museum of, I can't come up with the five now, but there are five all clustered together, mm-hmm. Major museums. What else? Well, of course, it's clear, it's near where we go to Red River every summer, and Santa Fe is close, it's within a couple of hours of Red River.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd bring back memories of going to the square. And we would go down nearly every year we were in Red River, we'd go and spend a day in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
Usually just drive over for the day and then drive back at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always very, very interesting. So where else in the U.S.?
Oh, you have about a minute left.
Okay.
So,
well,
or 30 seconds.
You know my favorite place to go in the whole United States?
Where?
Yosemite.
Yeah.
Gotta
go. I would say
Yellowstone.
Yeah.
For me, like Yellowstone, like how can anything be better than Yellowstone? Yeah. Because it's there's nothing else like Yellowstone,
that's right?
Right?
It's
yeah.
very unique.
Yeah. But yeah, I know you adore Yosemite.
Yosemite, there's not much else like Yosemite.
No.
Well, the truth
it's a magical.
You gotta go to Yosemite.
Yep.
And I, you know, Mary and I used to both that we used to both love Yosemite so much that we would say, okay, we have to go there at least every other year. And we did for a